2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
I've seen the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey. It is a sunny day.
Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
Yeah. The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. This is a shortened version of the KSL Greenhouse show. We are making way for the 190th semi-annual general conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Our special programming will get underway at 9:30. Also this morning, we are standing by right now. At any moment, the president's doctor is going to give us an update on his condition. He was taken to Walter Reed Medical Center late yesterday afternoon. He does have COVID-19. We've been told that his symptoms have been mild, but again, his doctor is going to give us an update at any moment, and we will take that. In the meantime, Ton, let's try to get to as many questions and calls as we can, and let's go to Mark first in South Jordan. Good morning, Mark. How can we help you this morning? Mark, are you there? We do not have Mark.
I'm here.
Okay, go ahead, Mark. What is your question this morning?
Yes. I have a locust tree behind my house, and it's really struggled this year. It has a little bit of green on it. It's probably been in the ground 8 or 9 years, and it's just really struggled this year, and I'm not sure what to do for it. It's a honey locust.
Okay, so where is it planted in the yard? Is it in your lawn or on its own?
Okay, I live in a condo on a golf course, and it is in the common area about 15 to 20 feet behind my unit. And so it's real close to a golf course. I believe it gets plenty of water. And so I'm just not sure if it's still, you know, if it's going to make it or not. It's probably about 15 feet tall.
Okay, so when you walk around it, is the soil really moist consistently?
I'm not sure if it's consistently moist back there. I don't walk around back there that often, but there's been times, a couple times a week, I'd hose it down really good from, you know, my unit. I'd take my hose and just hose it down really good. And then there's sprinklers there also.
So is the grass green around the tree or brown?
The grass, it does struggle a little bit, not right around it. It's green. It's green right around it. But, you know, about 10 feet from it, I noticed that it's, you know, the grass struggles a little bit. But right around it, it is definitely green, yes.
Okay. Well, and then is there a lot of branch dieback in it, or what does the condition of the tree look like?
It's very skinny and tall, and it's struggling. There's a little bit of green growth, you know, on a lot of the branches, but I mean, if you were to look at it, you would say this tree is history, you know, but I keep believing that it's got a chance. And so it doesn't look like much, but is there anything I can do to help it?
Without knowing more about it is really hard to say, because I mean, it's just what you basically told me is I've got a headache. Why?
Okay. I hear what you're saying.
So, I mean, you're going to have to see how moist the soil stays, especially in the middle of the summer, and make sure that it's moist but not mucky wet, and maybe put some fertilizer around it in late March or early April to see if you can stimulate some growth.
Okay. Okay. There was one thing. I had a big locust tree right behind my unit, and I took that out a year ago this spring because we were having some issues with the roots and things. So I took that out, and I wonder if that had anything to do with this other locust that we're not, you know, that's not doing so well now.
I doubt it.
Okay.
I just doubt it. And so all you can really do is check your soil. I mean, if you can find any holes in the trunk that might be from borers or, you know, cankers on the branches, those would be helpful. But if the tree's just generally not looking good, it's usually related back to too much or too little water.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. I'll work with it. Thank you.
Mark, thank you so much for listening. Next listener is asking, Ton, can chestnut trees grow here?
Not really well. There's a few around, but they like acidic soil. And so if you have an area, let's say you live in one of the bench areas that you have really, you know, quite well-drained soil, the pH is usually a little lower, those areas you probably could get away with it. But if you are living by Utah Lake or down by the Great Salt Lake at lower elevations, you know, there's areas through West Davis County, West Weber County, Utah County, that they just wouldn't do well. So it just really depends on where you're at.
Next texter is being tortured by Bermuda grass in parts of their lawn. They want to know what they can do and when. They don't want to kill the lawn yet.
Well, there's a few different products out there. This is Bermuda grass is one of the few grasses that you can selectively take out of Kentucky bluegrass. And so you can use a product called Triclopyr. It's often sold as Teflon ester that you could spray in the spring and fall. And then BioAdvanced makes another product they just call Bermuda Grass Control that you can spray through the summer. And so if you use these approximately every 4 or 6 weeks for a couple of years, they will get rid of the Bermuda grass as long as you follow the instructions.
Next listener wants to know how late they can plant their tulip bulbs. They were going to put them where their geraniums are, but the geraniums, are looking great right now, so they don't want to do it right this moment. So how late can they wait to plant those?
They can plant as late as they can dig in the soil. Even if the soil's frozen in December, you know, you could theoretically go out with a chisel and do that. And so, you know, as long as you can dig, you can plant them. You don't want to wait till next spring, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, we need to take a break, and we are standing by for a news conference from President Trump's doctor talking about his condition. He is at Walter Reed Medical Center. Apparently, he was taken there for precautionary measures, but his doctor is going to update us, and that's going to happen at any time now. We'll bring you that press conference when it happens. Let's take a break. You can still text us your questions at 57500. We'll be right back.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show, spending your Saturday morning with us. We appreciate it. We hope you're enjoying the show this morning. We are standing by for a press conference from the president's doctors to tell us about his condition. This is also a shortened version of the KSL Greenhouse Show as we make way for the 190th Semi-Annual General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Our special programming gets underway at 9:30 here on KSL News Radio. Let's take a call from Kent in Pocatello. Good morning, Kent. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. Thank you so much. I have a question about thinning peaches. I know that's kind of out of season, but I keep forgetting to ask when it's in season. If I'm thinning peaches and I've got two peaches on a branch, one that's closer to the trunk and one that's further out toward the end of the branch, which is preferable to keep and which one's preferable to remove?
The one farther out is the one that you would remove as long as you've got one within 6 inches or a foot. The farther out the peaches are from the trunk, the more likely they are to split the branch.
Very good.
And so you want those spaced evenly up and down the trunk so that when you have your fruit, not all of them are on the very edges of the tree. And we have a tendency to wipe out all the growth in the middle of the tree to the outside 20 or 30%. And then we prune them so they look like helicopter blades and they're very vertical or very horizontal and then they split. And so you want to have growth up and down the branch to equalize the weight along the entire branch.
Excellent. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next listener is texting in from Sugar House. Tom, they want to know how much we should be watering right now.
Once a week so that water penetrates into the soil a foot or 6 inches to a foot deep.
Okay, next person says, how do they get rid of brown patches or dead circles in their lawn?
We may need to move on.
I think we're
going to
be okay, but go, okay, this isn't like, okay.
Well, it could be drought, it could be fungus, it could be grubs. And so I guess the short answer is try to pull the dead patches up with your hands. If they lift out like you're just pulling a carpet up or they just come out super easy, it's grubs. Mm-hmm. If they don't lift out, the next thing I would do is stick a screwdriver into the ground, at least with a 6-inch shaft, and see how easily it penetrates so that you can tell if it's getting enough water. And if that doesn't work and it's just brown and you've checked for insect damage and drought stress, it's probably a fungus. And then you'd send a sample up to Utah State University's pest lab to see if they could figure out what it is.
All right. The next person says they planted 2 maple trees in the summer about 2.5 months ago. The edges of the leaves on both trees are browning and shriveled. What are they doing wrong?
Nothing. It's normal. And if 80% of the leaf looks intact, but they're starting to yellow, it's October. And maples have a tendency from mid to late September before they drop their leaves to start to scorch and develop kind of a brown edge or ring around the edges of them. And it's just completely normal.
Byron in East Syracuse wants to know how to get rid of snails.
There's several things you can look at. The snails like moisture, and so they're really common on the east and north sides of your home. And if you have a lot of cover for them, you know, that's something to look at. But the easy and quick thing is a snail bait. You can buy both organic and non-organic ones that you can apply in that area. If they continually come back, let's say you wipe them out and they're back 6 or 8 weeks later, you may need to dry the area out a bit. And if that doesn't work out, if you have mulch down, you may need to rake it out and have bare ground.
Next listener says their pear tree has rock hard pears and brown leaves, seems to be struggling. What can they do?
That doesn't give me a lot to go on because there could be so many things going on. It sounds like they may have fire blight in it, and I would recommend they Google USU and fire blight to get some fact sheets. But boy, there could be a lot going on, but that's where I'd start.
Next person says they have a Norway maple. What is the best fertilizer to use for that, and how should they fertilize? They're getting leaf scorch really early. Their neighbor has the same tree, and they're not getting their leaves scorched. And what could be causing that on their tree?
Well, there could be a lot of different things. It could be that the root system's not as established as the neighbor's. It could be that it has a fungal disease in the roots that are partially clogging water uptake during the hottest part of the summer. The tree can't get enough. It could be that just for whatever reason, it's getting a lot of sun scald in the summer that's causing those leaves to do that. This is a situation that fertilizer is not going to fix the problem. If they do anything, I would maybe use triple 16 in the spring, sometime in late March or April, and do a light application then. Right now is not the time to be fertilizing woody plants. And so you need to put your fertilizer spreader away and just let the tree go dormant. And if it leaves out very normally in the spring and it looks thick and full, I would more suspect that it's summer heat scorch, and they may need to supplement water to the tree every couple of weeks with a lawn sprinkler and see if that helps.
We are getting several questions about reseeding. This person says they have some dead spots in their lawn that aren't coming back with consistent watering. They're wondering if they can sprinkle some seed right now. Is there any point in doing that?
It's getting a little late for seed. I would wait till late October or early November or spring.
Okay. So you're saying to all those folks today, those of you who are thinking about reseeding, it'd be better to wait for spring.
It would be. If it was mid-September, I would say go ahead. You know, our warmer weather is here and it may be okay let's say they have to. For whatever reason, go ahead and do it, because you're not out a lot of money. And if you want to do that, the grass seeds, you know, anywhere from $2.50 to $5 a pound. You can try it. But the problem is that you may not have the seed survive if we get cold early in November, because the roots aren't deep enough to survive frost heaving.
Next texter says there's a small field next to their yard that grows the white top weed profusely. It's starting to migrate into their lawn. Is there anything that they can do to kill it or prevent this migration?
They need to go to their county office and figure out who owns the property, because white top is a noxious weed and the property owner is legally liable to control it. So they could talk to the county weed department about that. But short term, it's a great time to spray it out of their lawn. Unfortunately, spray is about one of the only effective ways to do it, but they would want to use something like Q4 Plus or Speed Zone or Weed Free Zone, one of the higher octane lawn weed killers.
Next person says they just put in a new landscape with new sod, shrubs, trees, flowers, and they're wondering how much they should be watering right now. The non-sod is on a drip line.
Okay. Well, the sod, if it's brand new, they can peel it back and they need to water it a small amount daily right now. They don't need to probably water multiple times a day, but the soil doesn't need to be muddy wet, but it can't dry out. And they need to just gently lift the sod. And when it starts to root out, they can start to back off on the water a bit. But because a lot of irrigation companies cut off secondary by mid-October, they may need to supplement water if we stay dry with their culinary water. And on their trees, if we get super dry, they're going to need to monitor those too.
Okay, you talked about how people should wait till spring to reseed, but this person has some patches in their lawn and they'd like to resod. Is this still okay to resod now?
Same cautions as seeding. It'd probably be okay, but you always have that little bit of a risk the longer you wait that it doesn't root out well enough. Now,
Okay. Sounds like we have lost Ton for a moment. Let's take a break. The number to call, or the number to text us with your questions, because we are coming up short at the end of the program here, 575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the last few minutes of the KSL Greenhouse Show. Ton, we lost you there. You were in the middle of telling this person how much they should water their new landscape when you dropped off.
Oh, boy. So the grass is going to need to be monitored. And do I still have you?
Yeah, you're there.
Okay,
go ahead.
So I'm doing the show from my cell phone today with an app that times out every 10 minutes. And so I barely missed it. So they need to make sure that the grass doesn't dry out, but that it's not muddy wet. And as it starts to root out, they can gradually taper back their watering until snow and rain is regular. But they're going to need to monitor the trees and shrubs also.
Okay. Next texter says they've discovered dozens of boreholes in their trees. Should they do something this fall about that?
There's not much they can do this fall. I would need to know the species of tree and maybe even the species of borer before I could recommend much beyond that. But because the trees are going dormant and because it's getting cold, there's really not much you can do right now as far as control.
Next person would like to know if it's okay to trim leaves off of their Concord grapes now before the snow.
Why? I don't know. I mean, let them naturally drop. And if the snow flies and there's still some leaves on there, there's really, unless they're going to collapse a structure, I would just leave it be.
Right. Why would be? Because they're really messy, you know, once they die.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, let's just leave it alone. And if they get on your grass and stuff like that, then we can deal with it. But if they're still green, they're still collecting energy. And I would let them get as much as they can before they yellow and fall off. Now, if they were all yellow, I would say as long as you're not damaging the vines, go ahead and prune them off.
Next person has yellow star thistle covering half of two empty lots by them, and they want to know what they can do about that. They hear it's really bad stuff.
Well, yellow star thistle is bad, and a lot of homeowner grade products won't do a lot. If it's still green and growing, you know, this is one that I don't deal with as much because
so this isn't one where they could reach out to the county for help on, right?
Well, they could. The county weed board would know, or the county ag agent. And so because I think yellow star thistle is annual, it's going to be too late to spray, but they would go after it in the spring. But they would need to contact their county extension agriculture agent and the county weed board for the latest recommendations, because yellow star thistle is one that is nasty and you do not want to get it established.
All right. Ton, it's been great being with you this morning, a shortened version of the KSL Greenhouse. You have a nice weekend.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.